I would encourage you to read through these several chapters that of the life of Joseph. I have read through it several times over the last few weeks, and I just keep seeing wonderful, wonderful truths in this account of the life of Joseph. I know it's familiar. We've gone through a lot of this in the last few weeks. But God, through all the things happening in the life of Joseph, has positioned him in Egypt to bring hope and salvation to his family and to all of the known world at that time. It's the most incredible thing. It says that Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea. This is not chapter 44. I'll get to that in a minute. He gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much until he left numbering, or he couldn't count it. It was so bountiful, the corn that was being stored up. For it was without number. And all countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn. Isn't that the most amazing thing? Joseph, the slave boy. Joseph, the son that was betrayed and sold into slavery, becomes the most important man in the world. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. God can work in some pretty amazing ways in a life that is trusting God. Now we're in chapter 44, and I'm going to read just a few. I'd like to read the whole chapter, but I'm just going to read about the first few verses of this chapter. Chapter 44, verse 1, he commanded the steward of his house, saying, "Fill the men's sacks with food, as much as they can carry, and put every man's money in his sack's mouth." The money was the silver that they brought from their father's house to pay for the corn. And Joseph said, "Fill their bags to overflowing with corn and put their money in there too." In other words, their money's no good here. They don't have to pay for it. I'm sending their money back with them. "And put my cup, the silver cup, in the sack's mouth of the youngest and his corn money." And he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. And as soon as the morning was light, the men were sent away, they and their asses. And when they were gone out of the city and not yet far off, Joseph said unto his steward, "Up, follow after the men. And when thou dost overtake them, say unto them, wherefore have you rewarded evil for good? Is not this it which my Lord drinketh? And whereby indeed he divineth, you've done evil in so doing." He overtook them, and he spake unto them, saying in these same words. They said unto him, "Wherefore saith my Lord these words? God forbid that thy servants should do according to this thing. Behold, the money which we found in our sacks' mouths we brought again unto thee out of the land of Canaan. How then should we steal out of thy Lord's house silver or gold? With whomsoever of thy servants it be found, both let him die. We also will be my Lord's bondsmen." And he said, "Now also let it be according unto your words. He with whom it is found shall be my servant. Ye shall be blameless." Then they speedily took down every man his sack to the ground, and opened every man his sack. And he searched and began at the eldest and left at the youngest. And the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Then they rent their clothes and laded every man his ass and returned to the city. And Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there, and they fell before him on the ground. I'm going to stop reading right there. Let me just kind of bring you up to date on what's going on here. Remember, Joseph's brothers came the first time to Egypt, because of the famine in the land. They traveled all the way to Egypt, and the man that they had to connect with, they had no idea that it was their brother Joseph. They didn't recognize him after all of those years, and now they have to come, and Joseph recognizes them, and but they don't recognize him. Joseph questions them about their family, about their father, and he sends them back to Egypt with their bags full of corn. But because he wants to see Benjamin, his youngest brother, who is the child of his mother as well, he wants to see Benjamin. And so he says, don't come back unless you bring Benjamin. And he said, I'm going to keep one of the brothers here, Simeon. I'm going to keep him here under house arrest, and so that you'll come back and bring Benjamin, because I want to meet the youngest one. Of course, they were reluctant, and they knew that their father Jacob was going to be reluctant because he was connected. He loved that younger one, something about the baby in the family. I don't know how many babies in the family we got here, but babies sometimes get special treatment, it seems. Well, that was the case here. And so they go back to their father and say, we can't go again. It doesn't take long for the corn supply to run out. And here they are headed back again, this time with Benjamin. Jacob said, if you don't take him, we're going to starve. And so he reluctantly allowed Jacob, or Benjamin, to return. When they get back to Egypt, Joseph sees his brethren and he sees Benjamin. The Bible says that he's so overwhelmed with emotion that he has to hide himself to weep and cry. He is so overwhelmed with emotion when he sees his younger brother, Benjamin. And then Joseph has a big banquet. Invites them all into his house. The brothers are all looking at themselves saying, what is going on? Why is he inviting us into his home? Why is he preparing this banquet? And he not only provided for them a great feast, but he gave to Benjamin a portion that was five times as much to Benjamin. And then the next morning, he packs their bag. That's where we are here in chapter 44. He packs all their bags, absolutely overwhelming with corn. And they start back. So that's the first part that I want to talk about, and that is the corn. We're talking this morning about the cup and the corn, or the corn and the cup. They start back, and the bags are full of corn. The corn represents, all throughout the scripture, anywhere you describe the harvest or the corn or the grain, it all represents the blessing of the Lord. It represents God's favor, God's goodness. And Joseph is a beautiful picture of Jesus, beautiful type of the Lord Jesus Christ, who delights in blessing his children and providing everything. You see it all throughout the scripture that God is a God who wants to bless his children. And certainly those blessings are not without condition, but God is a God who wants to bless. All the way back to Genesis 22, he describes it that in blessing, I will bless thee. I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to make you a blessing. And in Leviticus, it says that he commanded his blessing upon his children. In Deuteronomy, that wonderful chapter, Deuteronomy 28, where it describes all the blessing of the Lord upon the people of God. All these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, or literally, God will chase you down to bless you. And if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord, blessed shalt thou be in the city, Blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy ground and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shalt be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in. Blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. And the Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. And the Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in the storehouses and in all that thou settest thy hand to do. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Let me tell you, the life of a Christian is a blessed life. Amen. Amen. It won't always be measured in material goods or in money and finances. But if you have served the Lord for any length of time, you know that God is the God who pours his blessings out upon his people in more ways than we can even comprehend or understand. God is a God who is rich in mercy and has great love for his children, and he blesses his children. Amen. As I said, when you serve the Lord over the years, and then you recognize it even more. You see the hand of God. You recognize the blessing of the Lord in your life in so many wonderful ways. Praise God. Amen. Marcia and I have experienced that down through a lot of years. Last couple weeks ago, we celebrated 49 years together, if you can believe that. And I think that without question, we have seen the hand of God's blessing in so many wonderful ways. Praise God for that. We left Bible school, went to serve in a church in St. Louis for a couple of years. And we were assistant pastors, the youth pastors. We were the janitors. We were the choir directors. We were the bus directors. Let me go on and on and on. We were doing a lot of things in the church. And our salary, they decided that they were going to pay us. It was the Sunday school offering. They said, we're going to give you the Sunday school offering. Most weeks, it was about $50, $50-some dollars, maybe $60. We lived in a three-room shotgun apartment. Anybody know what a shotgun apartment is? A shotgun apartment is an apartment that you can walk in the door and you can see all the way to the back. It's a living room and a bedroom and a little kitchen and a little small bathroom, and that's it. It's called a shotgun apartment because you could literally shoot a shotgun from the front door to the back door. It's that little. It's that small. And it was on the third floor of an apartment building on Bates Street in St. Louis. Kind of a rough area. We were moving in and we were expecting Erica and a few months away from baby being born. And we were moving into that apartment, had boxes everywhere. And Marty shows up. Marty's out traveling around evangelizing, and he shows up and he brings Danny and Treba Hudson to our apartment. Now, for those of you that know Danny and Treba Hudson, they are always dressed to kill. They are already, every hair is in place, and they are perfect. Well, we're moving into a third floor apartment in a rough part of town, and Marty brings Danny and Treba Hudson to see us. And we were embarrassed that they were there to see our place that we were trying to get moved into. Those were some trying years. Those were some challenging years, but oh, we saw the blessing of the Lord in so many ways, amazing ways. During those years, when we had to find a doctor for the baby to be, when the baby was to be born, we had to find a doctor there, and so someone recommended a doctor, and the doctor immediately said, because you're in the ministry, I'm going to give you one half. You're going to pay one half the price of what it's going to cost. That was the blessing of the Lord. Amen.
Amen. And back then, it was going to cost $700 for the baby, for the doctor bill. And so he cut it in half. So Eric cost $350. Praise God. Amen. And so God came through and blessed us. And we brought her back to that little apartment. And I mean, it was tiny. There was no nursery. All you folks that have these wonderful nurseries, all well decorated. We didn't have a nursery. All we had was a walk-in, fairly large closet. So her bassinet was in the closet. And that was our apartment. And we were happy and we were blessed of the Lord. A little couple in the church came to us and said, listen, you've got a new baby. You're going to have a lot of expenses. We're going to provide all the diapers. And how many know what loves are? Love baby diapers. Well, they're the very best you can get. We couldn't afford those diapers. But this couple brought them to us by the case. Cases. And blah, I'm just illustrating for you. It really doesn't matter what the situation in your life. If you're in the will of God and you're serving God, God knows how to take care of you. God knows how to provide for you. Even if you're on $50 a week, God knows how to take care of you and to provide for you. And we witnessed that down through the years. So a few years later, we were pioneer pastors in Oklahoma. And again, didn't have much money. And as our girls grew older, I remember when they were going into their teen years that I noticed all of our friends were talking about how that they were having to put braces on their children's teeth. And it was costing thousands of dollars. And our girls, thank the Lord, they got their mother's good teeth. Because none of our children ever had to have braces. It was just, they just had beautiful teeth. And that was the blessing of the Lord. And God took care of them and took care of us. All down through the years, we have witnessed God's blessing in so many wonderful ways. Praise God for that. And many of you can give the same testimony that God is the God who fills the bags full of grain, full of corn, and even puts the silver on top. Amen. And provides for you in every area of need. Praise God. We all know James chapter 1, every good and perfect gift is from above. Cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Even in the time of famine, God provided corn and he provided grain for those sons that were going back to their father, Jacob. But this story gives a little twist to it, because Joseph tells his servants, when you pack their bags full of corn and grain, fill it to overflowing, put their silver on top. I don't want their money. But in the young Benjamin's bag, put my silver cup. Put it there. Hide it in his bag. And then after they get just a little ways away out of town, then he sends his servants after them. And says, why have you done this evil? Why have you stolen from the master? Why have you taken from him this cup that he drinks out of every day? Why have you stolen the cup? And they're all saying, we would never do that. We would never steal. We would never take away anything. If you find that to be true, then you can take all of us, take our lives, and make us servants to you if that's true. And so they start with the oldest, go through his bag, go down the line, go all the way down to Benjamin, and there's the cup that is found in the bag of Benjamin. So the same master that filled their bag full of grain and blessing also put the cup in the bag. Also put the cup in the bag. The cup really represents the trial, the test. Joseph put the cup in the bag to test these brothers to see. He said, it's in Benjamin's bag. I'll take him as my servant. You can go back home. He wanted to see if they had the same spirit, the same attitude they had when they sold him into slavery. Were they going to leave their brother behind and go back to their father and make up some story about what happened to him like that they had done with Joseph? But no, these brothers, instead, they come back and they plead. They plead with Joseph. And Judah steps up and pleads with Joseph, take me to be the servant. Let me be the substitute. What a beautiful picture it is. Jesus is born of the tribe of Judah, the great substitute for every one of us in our sin. The cup was to test, to see if they had changed, to see if their character had changed, to see if there was a change of heart or a change of character in their life. So the cup in the corn was placed there by the same master that had put the grain there. What a lesson it is. Our trials are also placed in our life by the same master that blesses us with the great blessing that we talked about. Amen. He also puts the cup in the bag. It represents the trials, the challenging times, the difficult times, the things that we go through, the experiences that are tough and difficult for us, the trying times. Job 23 and verse 10, he knows the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. James chapter 1, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Romans chapter 5, verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The cup brought them back to Joseph. That's what the cup will do. The cup will bring you back to Jesus. It'll bring you back to Jesus. Not only will it bring you back to him, but it will bring you into a new understanding and a new revelation of who he is. And that's what happened. When you read through that chapter and the next chapter, you will read what happened. They come back to Joseph. They plead with him. They offer for their own. Judah offers himself. I'll be the one. Keep me. I'll be your servant. Don't allow this to happen to Benjamin. And Joseph recognizes that they are not the same men that they were 12 or 13 years before. They have been changed. They have been changed. When you read through the chapter, they're repenting of what they did. They said, our sin has been found out. And they repented of what they did and of their failings, still not knowing that this is their brother Joseph. Praise God. But now, in the next chapter, Joseph puts everyone else out of the room, all of his servants, all the Egyptians, he takes them out of the room. Joseph, again, is so overwhelmed with emotion that he cries and weeps so loud that it can be heard in Pharaoh's palace. Can you imagine the emotion of that moment? And Joseph then says, I'm your brother. I'm your brother. The Bible says that all of his brethren were silent. They were shocked. They were astonished. How could this possibly be. Let me tell you, what the cup will do, the cup does in our life what the corn can't do. What the cup of trial does is it brings you back to Jesus. It brings you to a revelation of who he is, to an understanding of who Jesus is. Joseph revealed himself, who he was. He was their brother. Before long, he is kissing them. He is hugging them, and he is weeping on every one of their shoulders. They are having this grand reunion. The intimacy, the closeness now is restored. All that was lost is now restored. Somehow, the cup brings you back to Jesus. The cup brings you closer to Jesus. The cup brings you to a place of revelation where you know who he is in a way that you couldn't have ever known who he was before. No one likes the trials. I sure don't. No one likes the difficult testing times. But if you'll be honest, every Christian goes through testing times. And when you come out on the other side of it, you are purer. You are pure gold. The trial, when you go through the trial, you come out on the other side and you are transformed. And you have a new understanding of who Jesus is. You have a new revelation of who Jesus is. Glory to God. Even Jesus himself, he wanted to back away from the cup in the garden. My Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but your will. Your will. If it had not been for Jesus' willingness to drink the bitter cup of the flogging, of the crucifixion, of the humiliation, and the suffering that he went through, if he would not have been willing to drink the bitter cup, then we would not know him as he is today, praise God, and who he is, the resurrected Lord, the glorified Lord, the one who overcame death, hell, and the grave. Amen. None of that without the cup, if he was not willing to drink it. But he was willing, he willingly drank the cup because he knew what was coming. He knew what it was going to produce. Amen. What an amazing example for us from this story. Yes, God is a God who blesses us. He provides for us. And we all can testify to the way that many ways that God takes care of us and provides for us and blesses us. But he also puts the cup in there. He allows us to be tested. He allows us to go through the trying of our faith. And the trying of our faith produces gold. The trying of our faith, praise God. When you read that next chapter, I've read it several times. It's so wonderful. It's so wonderful. This time when he sends his brothers back to his father, he sends them back. First of all, he says to them, listen, don't be grieved over what you did. God sent me before you to preserve life. In verse 7, he says, God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. And now it was not you that sent me, but God that hath made me a father to Pharaoh. God's positioned me here. Verse 11 of the chapter. Now I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to nourish you. I'm going to provide for you throughout these years of famine. And it says that he kissed all of his brethren and wept upon them. And after this, his brethren talked with him and fellowshipped with him. Praise God. There is just an intimacy and a closeness that comes when you drink of the cup of a trial. Amen. You can get closer to the Lord. You can understand who he is. Then he says, take your father and your household and come to me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt. He's saying, I'm going to give you the best part of Egypt, the best
property, the best land. You're going to eat of the fat of the land. Now when he commanded, now that thou art commanded, do this do ye. Take ye wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives. Regard not your stuff or forget about your stuff down there in your own homeland. You're going to get all new stuff. Forget about all that stuff. And then he loaded them down. He loaded them down with provisions. Praise God. He sent to his father 10 different donkeys filled, 10 of them filled with just treasures of Egypt. The other 10 with bags full of grain that he sent just to his father. And to each one of the brethren, all the amazing provision that God gave to them after the cup. After the cup. Then the provision of the Lord, what God can provide. Let me tell you, the trial of your faith produces something that is precious. Peter said it's precious. It's pure gold. Amen. When you go through the trial of your faith, you come out on the other side, purified and purged and purified. And God uses that to do something in you, to reveal himself to you, to do a wonderful work in your life. And I, you know, no one enjoys the trial while you're going through it. But when you get to the other side of the trial, you recognize the hand of God and you know him in a deeper and a more wonderful way. Praise God. All of this amazing provision. And as I said last week, I think it was, can you imagine Jacob when he saw all those wagons coming from Egypt? I mean, they left with skinny, scrawny donkeys. That's what they left with. I mean, they were all hungry and starving. They're coming back. I can just imagine. It's probably horse-drawn wagons from Egypt. Beautiful wagons. And when they told him what was happening, that Joseph is alive, Jacob wouldn't believe it. He did not believe it. But when he saw those wagons, he knew it. He knew this has to be the miracle of provision. Praise God. Well, the lesson is clear, I think, for all of us here today. We serve a God who takes care of us, who provides for us, who blesses us. Those who come into the kingdom of God and you get saved, you enjoy so many wonderful benefits, so many wonderful blessings, but he also puts the cup in the corn, in the mix. He puts it in there. You do have a trial. You do have a problem. You do suffer. You do go through experiences that you don't understand, but God is going to use all of that. He's going to work through all of that and reveal himself to you just as as Joseph revealed himself to his brethren. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, I just want to be encouraged, because there may be some of you here today that right now you're in some kind of a trying situation. You're going through a trial, a difficult time, whatever it might be. It can be illness. It can be a lot of different things that you might be going through and you're wondering, Lord, what is going on? What is going on? Trust him. Trust him. Trust in the Lord in the midst of your trial and know that God is going to bring you through. And on the other side, he is going to reveal himself to you. And he is going to bless you in more ways than you could ever, ever imagine. Just as he did in the life of Joseph and Jacob and the brethren. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word today. We know, Lord, that you can speak to us, Lord. And I'm speaking directly, Lord, to those in this service, Lord, that are experiencing a trial of their faith. They are serving you, but Lord, they're going through a trial of their faith. They don't understand it. They're questioning it. But that trial, that cup, and know that it can draw you closer. It can get you back to a closer connection and fellowship with the Lord. And Lord, I just pray that you would reveal yourself to some that have been going through trying times. Lord, times we don't understand. Things that are too difficult to understand. But Lord, we know that you're faithful. And we know that you are
at work to bless us, and even in the trying times, you're just as faithful. You're just as faithful, even in those trying times. We thank you for that. Glory to God. Could we stand together all over the